Thank you. Thank you for taking us through that reading. And yes, it was a long one. I know you're all thinking, my word, what was that about? Okay. And hopefully we're going to be seeing what that was about. Okay, so before we do that, let's start with a prayer. Lord, just really thank you for your word. We come before you this afternoon and we really want to hear from you. We want you to speak into our lives and so challenge us. Help us understand what was written down here, but more than that, help us know what it teaches us about you and how you would have us react to that. Amen. So we normally start with a nice discussion point. So my discussion point for you on your tables today is, what's the longest you've ever queued for something and was it worth it when you got there? Okay, longest you've ever queued for something and was it worth it when you got there? Have a discussion on your tables. Park rides. I know, so I did. Is it though? So I went on the one, Chessington. Okay, so we queued, and it must have been 2 hours queuing in Chessington. Yeah, you know, it's that long queue, you're going to get to the front, and it was the ride where you spin round and go up and over loops and things like that. Some of you know that. What's it called? Dragon's Fury. I spent 2 minutes feeling ill, and then another 2 hours afterwards going, oh my word, what was that? That was definitely not worth it, but yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, long queues on for rides. Go on then, what did you have? Long queues? Huh? When? You need to elaborate. Every day. Is that the kind of bang on the door? Come on! Try and get out the door here. My father, famously, so when I was growing up, we had a downstairs loo by the front door, okay? Which was very convenient when you were just about to go to school, but the rule was nobody was allowed in there, yeah? Before Dad left for work, because he would go in the loo before he left. So if you went in there, you had to be very, very quick, otherwise you'd get my dad on the door. Come on! Who's in there? Who's in there? And you'd be very, very quiet. No! I don't want to own up. But yeah, I know that queue. Go on then, queue.
Heathrow Airport to get through passport control.
Oh, how long?
I just remember being out of the hall and down the corridor.
Yeah, that's a really long one. Okay, that doesn't sound too bad. Definitely worth it. Did you actually, how long were you queuing for? Did you camp out? Oh, that's not too bad. You weren't one of the ones who got there like 6 o'clock in the morning. No. That's really good. Oh, yeah. We've had that one. That was not good. That was a bad queue. Yeah. Yes, not very exciting. Go on then. Longest you queued for something? Yes. 16 years to get a dog. Absolutely. So look, grab your Bibles. Let's turn to Habakkuk. Okay, so it's on page 940. We're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 2. Okay, and the thing is about this passage is effectively this passage divides into two parts very, very neatly. Verse 1 and the rest of the chapter. Okay, so we're going to be looking at verse 1 and then we'll look at the rest of the chapter. And verse 1, so let's just remind ourselves, because we read that bit from chapter 1, and it's kind of like, what on earth is going on here with Habakkuk? So basically, okay, God has told Habakkuk that he's going to send the Babylonians to judge them. Basically, Habakkuk has realized that Israel is sinning. Israel's turning against God, and he knows that God should be doing something about that, and he can't understand why God doesn't act. And then God surprises him even more by turning around and saying, yep, I am going to act, and I'm going to use the Babylonians. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. They're going to come and invade. They will be my judgment. And Habakkuk's even more confused. So firstly, he's confused. Okay, God's not doing anything. And then when God does decide to do something, he takes the most evil people around and says, right, I'm going to use those as my judgment. He knows the Babylonians are horrible. And it's like, how can God punish Israel using a tool that's even more wicked? He just doesn't understand it. Which brings us to the beginning of chapter 2, because effectively, verse 1, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, God, will say to me and what answer I'm to give. to this complaint. He basically turns around and he says, God, I want an answer. I want to know what's going on here. I'm not taking this. I want an answer. It's easy when you look at that, you think maybe Habakkuk's being like really pushy, you know, really aggressive. God, I want an answer from you. But it's more like he's standing on the ramparts. It's like being up looking out for that answer to come. Okay? It's like being in a castle, in a city, looking out and saying, God, when are you going to send this answer to relieve me? He's not testing God. He's not challenging God. He's not hostile against God. He's not saying, God, I want a sign of what's going on. He says, look, I just want to understand. His motive is sincere. He wants to learn God's plan. He wants to understand God's character. And he says, look, God, I am going to stand here and queue until you answer. I am waiting for you. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. So back then, a guy would stand on watch and look out for an enemy coming or for relief coming and things like that. And they would stand on the ramparts until they were relieved. Until somebody came up and said, right, now it's my turn to take that watch. Leaving a city without a watch was a horrendous situation to be in. And Habakkuk's saying exactly that. I'm not going anywhere. I'm standing here waiting for God to answer. How do we feel about that? Do we ever turn around to God and say, God, I'm waiting upon you. I want an answer from you, God. I don't understand what's going on in this situation. God, I expect an answer here. Talk back to me. Not in a way that's confrontational, challenging or hostile to God, but literally turning around and wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. There's a good biblical tradition of this. Jacob in the Old Testament wrestles with God. Literally. God comes into the camp and they almost have this tussling, wrestling match. And he says, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. Jacob wrestles with God. Habakkuk's doing exactly the same. And the question is do we wrestle with God? You're thinking, well, I don't know whether I can do that. That's a bit, oh, I don't know, turning around to God and saying, I demand an answer. What's the opposite of wrestling with God? The opposite of wrestling with God is laziness. Is where you just back off and just go, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's fine. See, that's the danger, is that we don't ask these questions. We can't be bothered. It's not important enough. I can't waste my time on this. And so instead of asking questions of God and saying, I want to know what's going on here, we turn around and become lazy. I was chatting to someone literally yesterday, and they were talking about a conversation they'd had with an atheist friend of theirs. This atheist had been quite having a go at them and quite argumentative and wanted to challenge them on discussions, and they were talking about faith and things like this. And then this person turned around and said, hang on, wait a minute, look, I get that this is important to you, but can I ask a question? Why don't you have a go at my friend over here who's an agnostic? If it's so important to you and you're trying to change my mind, why do you not have a go at the agnostic who's just sitting there going, meh? See, that's the point. The agnostic is effectively, they're the classic lazy person. Their viewpoint is, nah, I don't know if there's a God. And to be honest, I don't really care. Too much going on. Too busy. Haven't got the time to think about it. I am not going to wrestle with God. There's a bit in Hebrews where Paul has a real go at some of the people he's writing to. Sorry, not Paul. The writer of Hebrews. I always get that one wrong. The writer of Hebrews has a real go about the people he's writing to. And he says, you're spiritually lazy, effectively. He says, you just don't look. It's just not important enough to you. You prefer milk to meat, he says. Meaning, you're just going for the easy stuff. It's when you go along and you just want the talks to be simple, straightforward, not too deep. Don't go into the hard stuff. Let's just keep it nice and simple and wrap up the talk within 5 minutes and then we can move on to coffee. Because you say, I want it to be simple, I want it to be easy. And that's what the writer of the Hebrews, he says, look, you prefer milk to meat because you know what? For you, chewing is tiring. Look, God wants us to wrestle with him. Now, that's not to say that each and every one of us has to become some fantastic theologian who goes out there and understands absolutely every bit about the Bible. But God says, ask questions. Don't be lazy. Ask questions. When you come across passages in the Bible, ask questions about it. When you come across the stuff you don't understand, when we read this passage, you all sat there and went, what on earth is that about? Ask the questions. Find out. Don't be lazy. Because laziness is the easy part. You just go, I can't be bothered. Jacob is admired because he is a diligent, sincere seeker of God. He wrestles with God. He wants to know what God's plan is, and he says, I will hold you, God, until you tell me what is going on. Habakkuk's the same. I'm going to stand here until you answer my call, until you tell me what is happening here. If you're a Christian believer, I encourage you to wrestle with God. Next time you come across something that is hard, that's tough, that you don't understand, find out the answer. And I promise you, there's people out there who know. In 2,000 years, nobody has come up with an argument that has knocked Christianity for six, where people have gone, oh, we've got no answer to that. There are answers out there. Talk to Jonathan. Talk to the other people in the church. Talk to the older members of your congregation. Go and find out. I used to have a policy of going to speak. I had a really good curate at one point. I used to go and chat with him, and he used to help me and understand the really tough questions that were coming through. But the answers are out there. Don't be lazy. Be like Habakkuk and wrestle with God. Because as a result, your faith will grow. Because you'll know more about him. So, the amazing thing is, of course, is that in verse 2, then the Lord replied. Now, we're not actually told how the Lord replied. It's interesting. If I was to ask you, how does God speak to you? That'd be a really interesting conversation. So, in fact, we're going to have that one now on your tables. So, God replies to Habakkuk. Okay, he answers Habakkuk when he calls out. So, I want you to ask on your tables, have a little chat. Firstly, simple question, do you think God answers prayer? And then secondly, can you give any examples of how God answers prayer? So there we go. Does God answer prayer, and can you think of any examples on your table?